This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Our next guest, Macca, is Ghassan Kasasia, who's the Legal Director of Equality Australia. Now, if you don't know Equality Australia, you should.
You should.
Equality Australia, headed up by Victorian Anna Brown, has been set up to really champion the LGBTI rights cause. To speak with us this morning, we have Ghassan Kasasia, who's the Legal Director. And what we particularly want to talk about, well, we want to get a bit of an update on this religious discrimination bill and also the proposed implications of the way in which the bill is drafted on health practitioners.
Because I think people need to understand, Tass, exactly what is so disturbing about this bill.
I agree. Good morning, Ghassan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Great to have you on the airwaves this morning. Tell us what the latest is with this bill. Why is it so disturbing to so many members of our community?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned in terms of the health impacts, and I think we are seeing more and more of the insidious nature of the way it's been drafted that will allow health practitioners widely defined to refuse to treat people on the basis of religious objections, not only because they object to the type of procedure, but we think also the person who's requesting the procedure.
Oh.
And it insulates. Yes, and so it defines a health service to include doctors, nurses, but also optometrists and podiatrists and physiotherapists who will be given greater protection if they have a religious objection, which is not defined, to providing health services to people, and also rules that may an employer might set or health standards body might set around treating people without allowing religious views to interfere in the kind of care that they give.
Ghassan, just let's go back a little bit and unpack that. Could you perhaps give us an example of what that might look like? So here I am, a middle-aged gay man, and I turn up to my optometrist for a service. They can refuse me a service because of the way I look.
Well, they could refuse you a service, for example, because they believe homosexuality is a sin, and therefore they don't want to serve you. And the legislation doesn't have a very good balancing mechanism where a health professional objects to providing treatment on religious grounds. If an employer or a professional body had a policy or a professional standard that required to treat people without discrimination, that policy could be challenged. And it would only survive challenge if the employer or the health body could show that it was a necessary policy to avoid an unjustified adverse impact to the patient. So this law actually turns on its head that the patient has the right to be treated for whatever health needs that they have. And in fact, a doctor or a nurse could impact adversely a patient's health and be allowed to do so in order to accommodate their personal religious objection.
So, Ghassan, it's Macca here. I'd liken this, the reason I regard this as so dangerous, in the law, a barrister is expected and required to take any brief that is presented to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the custom. I'm not sure if that's the regulation, but that is the custom. So what we have here is you could have a situation where a medical practitioner, because of their religious beliefs, potentially could refuse to treat you.
And it's actually, so that's one aspect of it, the refusal to treat. Then the law also protects certain religious statements.
Yep.
And gives them a trump card against other discrimination protections that currently exist on the grounds of disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, and other grounds. And then also insulates them by providing them possible grounds to challenge, say, a deregistration or a disciplinary decision, which has counseled them or discipline them on the basis that they've allowed their religious beliefs to interfere in the care they provide.
Mm.
We've actually just done a look at tribunal and medical board decisions where this has actually happened in the last, recent decisions, we're talking in 2015, 2012, across the country where health professionals have been found by medical boards and tribunals to have allowed their religious beliefs to interfere, especially in cases involving people with living with experiences of mental health issues, but also other types of scenarios, women who've had stillbirths and have been sort of admonished by their psychologists that they've allowed a child to, through abortion, they should repent and all those sorts of ideas are being allowed into a consultation. Of course, today, the disciplinary regimes that exist in each state and territory allow that doctor to be counselled and findings of professional misconduct can be made when this legislation, if it's currently introduced as it's drafted, would immunise that doctor or that psychologist to challenge those kinds of disciplinary decisions, the policies that they have to comply with, and also to insulate their statements that they're making to patients, like if you pray, people are being prescribed prayers and being told to repent in consultation settings.
Well, I mean, our political leaders are actually encouraging us all to have positive thoughts and conduct lots of prayers in order to salvage the country from climate change, aren't they?
Yeah. And this is taking it that one step further by allowing those sorts of statements to actually have almost like a trump card against other grounds that people currently have to protect them from discrimination. If we've got time, I can tell you a few of the really interesting cases we found, which were actually quite shocking because the more we looked, the more we found.
Can I just say, and we'll get to that, so a doctor, instead of taking the Hippocratic Oath, they now take the hypocritical oath. They'll actually just say, well, yes, look, I will save lives, provided you're not gay, provided you're not, this, provided you're not that. It's a really dangerous road to go.
This is very disturbing, Ghassan.
And this is why it's disturbing, because it's disturbing for a number of reasons. It's restricting, your ability to access that care. Mm-hmm. But, we pay as taxpayers for the public health system and the private health system in this country through a range of methods. So we're actually going to be paying and subsidising a system that is allowed to discriminate against us on the basis of our sexuality in something that is really basic about our healthcare.
Absolutely. And the legislation actually makes no distinction about a doctor that is in a public hospital or in private practice, and also doesn't make a distinction. So it's not just grounds of sexuality, but objections based on being a single parent, having a child out of wedlock, being a lesbian, having sex outside of marriage, all the sorts of treatments and medical services that people need, like access to the morning after pill, just objections to providing any kind of gender-affirming care for a trans patient. They're the sorts of things that we're concerned about. And we're already seeing some churches, for example, in Sydney, actually amend their policies to prescribe this doctrine that will then give them the basis to say, well, my religious belief requires me to not treat you in this way because it goes against some doctrine that has been amended.
So most of this is relatively new. I mean, I know there is a bill sitting in Parliament and it is publicly available.
There's an exposure draft of that bill.
And it is actually rather complicated. These are complicated issues. How can our listeners learn more about this? I mean, I think we need to have a bit more time with you, to be honest, Ghassan. Maybe get you into the studio next time you're in Melbourne to really sort of unpack what this means for our community. But how can our listeners find out more about this?
But what can they do?
Well, that's the second part of the question.
Well, the first thing is if they go to our website, equalityaustralia.org.au, we've got fact sheets that cover the impacts in the workplace, in health, in education, and we also have fact sheets that address this particular situation for women and people with disabilities or with lived experiences of mental health issues. There's also on our website an opportunity there to write to your local MP. The bill is currently only in an exposure draft form and we expect it to be presented to Parliament this year for an inquiry still. That's the best information that we have. And so now's the time.
What does that mean, an inquiry?
Probably a Senate inquiry, I'd suggest.
Likely to be, yes. A Senate inquiry where there'll be further submissions made. And also, there's already been a consultation and that consultation has shown that no one on any side of the political debate is actually quite happy with the legislation. And we're concerned that the legislation might go further based on some comments that have been made publicly around aged care and religiously based hospitals.
Mm. Look, I think we need to, obviously people need to go to the Equality Australia website. They need to express their, read the material, express their concerns to their MP. But I think, Ghassan, you know, it'd be great to have you in the studio and let's have an extended chat about this. We still have time, you know, it hasn't been presented to the Parliament yet. The inquiry hasn't taken place. Recall when, I think you were away, Tass, but Tim Wilson gave us an assurance that there was nothing for us, our community, to worry about in this bill.
Well,
that's what he said.
After having listened to what Ghassan has to say this morning, I'm deeply concerned.
As long as you don't get sick, as long as you don't get old, as long as you don't want to go into a care home, as long as you don't, you know, want your toenails cut.
Ghassan, look, the only other comment that I want to make is that, I mean, there's, I want to have a longer discussion about this, but the only other comment that I wish to make is why aren't we talking about this? Why isn't our community talking about this level of nuancing?
Look, I think it's difficult legislation to get your head around because it's been presented as a religious discrimination bill that's intended to prevent discrimination against people with religious belief or without. And some of the legislation does that. The problem is there's three or four areas where the legislation is very unconventional and radical in its approach to protecting rights by overriding existing discrimination protections and privileging certain views over others. And so those who, like our community, but other communities that are susceptible to religious condemnation, are standing basically in the way of these provisions that will give more license to people to discriminate against us. But it is a complicated piece of legislation. I think that's the main reason why people aren't talking about it, because they don't yet know how it will impact. And that's our key. Our job is to explain to people the impacts, but also the fact that we can achieve the change that's necessary to make this legislation better for everybody by treating everyone equally and not inserting these hierarchies of rights with which this legislation is currently trying to achieve.
Ghassan, been most informative this morning. I'm sure that there's a number of eyebrows that are being raised right across our airwaves this morning. Thank you for your time. That was Ghassan Kasisi, who's the Legal Director from Equality Australia. And don't forget, you can learn more about this by jumping straight onto the Equality Australia website at equalityaustralia.org.au and check out their fact sheets.
You need to do it.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.